In Ireland, today is known for obvious reasons as Spy Wednesday. Jesus goes to the chief priests to seal a deal for handing over Jesus. Handing over is a refrain throughout the Gospel and reaches a climax here. Earlier on, John the Baptist was handed over. Now we see Jesus being handed over, and later the followers of Jesus will also be handed over into the hands of those who want to put an end to their mission. Matthew's Gospel is the only one that mentions the actual amount of money given to Judas. It derives from Zechariah, where it's the wages paid to the shepherd rejected by the people. He is then told by God to throw the money into the temple treasury as a sign of God's disapproval of those who reject him. And Judas, as you know, will also throw the money back to the priests after realizing what he has done. In contemplating Judas, I find myself asking when I too have betrayed and handed over Jesus. Jesus' disciples ask him where he wants to celebrate the Passover without realizing its significance for Jesus and for them. The feast began at sunset after the Passover lamb had been sacrificed in the temple on the afternoon of the 14th day of the month Nisan. Associated with this was the eating of unleavened bread, which Jesus would use when he said over it, "This is my body." The eating of this bread continued for a whole week to remind the Israelites of the sufferings they underwent and the hastiness of their departure from Egypt. The feast is a celebration of thanks to God for the past and of hope for the future. During the meal, Jesus drops the bombshell, "One of you will betray me." Note that none of the disciples accuses anyone else, instead turning on themselves, surely it is not I, Lord. Each one realizes that he is a potential betrayer of Jesus. And in fact, during the crisis to come, they will all abandon him. It must have been agonizing for Jesus that his betrayer is one of the 12, a friend who has shared so much with him. It's all been foretold in the scriptures, but how sad that Judas takes this role, even though it's one that he's deliberately chosen. When he asks with feigned innocence, "Surely it is not I, Lord," how else can Jesus reply than with, "You have said so"? Let's ask the Lord for the grace to experience the Triduum, not just as spectators, but also as participants. We may, like Peter, have denied the Lord many times, but let's come back to him with tears of repentance now, and with hearts full of joy at the resurrection.